B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5, The Fanatic. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Core Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays have been as good. The Sixers were really sizzling from the three-point line last night. 6 for 33. Come on, man. You can't go around the league and find a team that's going to shoot 6 for 33 from 3. Every team in this league shoots the 3 ball better than this team.
I can't explain the last two nights.
1 for 6 for Scott. 1 for 5, Tobias. Horford 0 for 3. Richardson 1 for 8 last night. Shooting the 3.
Awful.
Off the bench, they got 3 made threes. One by little Squatty, who came in and had a dash to the basket, tie, and a three-pointer within the first couple minutes.
Yeah, but he was playing with Pell, and that lineup was terrible.
Yeah. Thibel made one. Gorkmaz made one. Not good.
No, it's terrible. That's horrendous. That's horrendous even for them.
Are they the worst three-point shooting team in the league?
No.
What's the percentage?
They're like ninth in the league.
They are?
Yeah. I mean, the last two games have brought them down. They were seventh going into the Dallas game. And B gets them a lot of open looks. They're not terrible normally. They're above league average. The worst team in the league are the Hawks. They shoot 31% for the season. The Sixers before the last two games were around 36-37%.
That's a misleading stat because they're not naturally good three-point shooters. None of them, really.
Well, you can only take what they do. It's what they've shot.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm looking at the whole roster and I'm going, who do I really believe in that can make threes? Is there anybody you really believe in when they square up to fire?
I honestly believe by the end of the season, Mike Scott will be at 39%.
Yeah, I don't see what you see in him.
He's super streaky. That's what he is. It's bad. It's annoying. But sooner or later, he'll have this streak where he hits 80% for four straight games.
I'm telling you, I just look the way ball comes out of people's hands. Doesn't come out of his hand that well to me.
And Tobias can shoot.
Yeah, it comes out of his hand fine.
And he does. He's missed a lot of open ones. That 6 for 33 is misleading. They were 18 of 50 on open shots of all kinds. You know how hard it is to be 18 for 50 on uncontested shots in this NBA? That's hard to do, and they managed last night.
The Pacers get 4 3-balls out of Justin Holiday, of all people.
Well, that was, yeah, he stinks.
And Brogdon, it comes out of his hand well.
Yeah, Brogdon can shoot it.
Out of his hand.
Yeah, he can shoot it.
Aaron on the cell. Aaron, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, I hope you don't mind me saying a little bit, but that was an incredible game before I played last night.
Yes, it was. What's wrong with your phone these days, Aaron? You get a little muffled.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a bad connect. Yesterday it was the same thing, but you know you got to all that poker money you're winning over there. You got to get in the phone.
That's got to do it. Anyway, they've just played a juggernaut of a schedule. They got the Capitals, Bruins, and Lightning, and I mean, I don't know if you think they're a playoff team now, but they certainly play with anybody in that league with a young team.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the consistency you see. It was a good effort against the Caps coming off a losing streak, and they had a home crowd. And they played well against the Lightning. They didn't win it. But last night, they showed some heart coming back. I'll give
them
that.
They outplayed them. I mean, after the middle of the second period, they outplayed that team.
Yeah, and they won the game.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a guy actually barely touch the puck on a shootout. That was incredible, but... You know what, Michael? You know when you see some consistency? And I'm going to bring it up again. The captain in the last three games, 0 goals, 0 assists. He was a -2 last night. He got 31. He's not even average. He is that MVP candidate.
You can tell he doesn't have the same buzz he used to have.
Michael, he has nothing. He brings nothing to the game at this
time. Yeah, guys get older, man. He's an older player now.
He's a $9.5 million older player.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? It happens sometimes to aging stars.
Let me give you a Sixer that is close to somebody who might have frustrated you back in the day. Mm-hmm. Gary Stackhouse.
No. J- Jerry Stackhouse didn't have the kind of talent this dude has.
No, he didn't, but he was drafted ahead of KG and ahead of Rashid. He was number
two. Yeah, no, listen, he was a good player. He wasn't a great player. I didn't know how great a player he was. Ben Simmons has greatness in him, the way
I agree, but didn't Jerry Stackhouse get traded because they didn't think he could shoot a three and couldn't match up with AI?
Yeah, he was a good shooter.
Yeah, well, came out of
he became one. He got better at it.
He got better.
Yeah, but well, we're talking about a 6'10 guy here in Ben Simmons. 6'10, 6'11. Hey, you know, it's different.
Hopefully one of these two teams learn how to win at home as well on the road as they do at home, because they're the same team on the road. They can't win on the road. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. I hear you. I guess I wasn't as frustrated with Stackhouse because Allen Iverson was on the team. So he didn't frustrate me as much. I saw a ceiling on Stackhouse right away. The ceiling on Ben is still there. It's like, he just doesn't want to go to the ceiling. Drew in Uptown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Yo, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
Not much, man. I'm just hanging out listening to you guys. You guys always make my day a little bit better while I'm at work. I just wanted to say something about Ben. Like, you know, I'm pretty much in line with what everybody else is saying, but I think that this is interesting. Is that Jimmy Butler quote? Is that coming to fruition now? And could this possibly be what Jimmy was talking about as far as, like, you know, he didn't say it, but I mean, he said it'll come out. And I feel like Ben is kind of like uncoachable, which would make somebody like Jimmy be like, okay, you're just tuning the coach out, but he's holding everybody else accountable.
Possible. So, it's possible that Jimmy Butler didn't want any part of Ben.
Yeah, and I just think that he's putting the coach in a real tough position. I mean, what other guy are we accepting this from? And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's looking like he's probably going to be a coach killer. He's killing the spacing. He's killing a bunch of stuff. Now, if you're blatantly not listening to the coach, it's like, Mike, you going to work every day, and they're saying, hey, Mike, you got to get this done today. And you don't. I mean, just like the rest of us. If you're not getting it done blatantly, it's not like you're trying to do it and you're just falling short. No, you're not doing this on purpose. So, like, are we all just asleep and just praying for the best? Because it sounds like to me, when I listen to the station, I feel like everybody's afraid to go down this path of what it actually is and what it appears to be. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it doesn't have to be doom and gloom, but that's sure what it looks like, Mike. And I don't know where we go from here. Why are we just covering our eyes, like, no, don't trade. Anytime somebody brings up a trade scenario, and I'm not saying
because you can't. The mistake that a lot of fans make is you cut off your nose to spite your face, and you're frustrated, and you go, "We need to trade them," but you can't come up with something that's going to be equal value on a guy with a ceiling like Ben Simmons. You just can't. It's not productive to react by saying trade them.
Well, what message is that sending to the rest of the guys?
The message is that you got to keep developing them. That's what the message is. How's it going to help? How's it going to help the rest of the guys if you trade a star caliber player like Ben Simmons? Who's going to come in and fill that kind of a gap?
I think that
D'Angelo Russell? You making the team better with D'Angelo Russell?
No, Mike, I would never say that.
All right. I told you one guy I'd do it for right now. I do it for Luka. I do it for Devin Booker. That's not going to happen.
I mean, would you do it for multiple players? What if it's a few players that help the team? Like, I heard you ask the other guy earlier.
Like who? Give me guys. Give me guys.
Like you said, why would Phoenix do something like that? But aren't we all know that some players mean more to different teams. So Ben could be more of an
asset. Don't you think that the conclusion you're coming to on Ben isn't reached by other GMs in the league?
It might be, but if they're not, might take a chance.
Yeah, but see, we're under the impression that people are fools. You know, like everybody else is a fool, and we're not.
No.
You know, it's just the trade part of this is absurd because it's counterproductive to trade a guy with a ceiling like this for less. Down the road, if you keep stumbling, then it becomes the trade value and whatever you get, because then you go, okay, it's not going to happen here, and we got to take the chance. Maybe it'll happen somewhere else, but we know it's not going to happen here. So we got to cut bait. It's not now, though. My frustration comes from when a player dominates the game like he did in the first half. How does the player's mindset, like the killer who's got the familiarity with busting another team, comes out in the second half and says, I'm not going to stand for disappearing. I got it going in the first half. My mindset will prevent me from disappearing completely in the second half. His mindset does not, which makes him the most frustrating player that I've ever seen. Like, that's the part I don't get. If he has a bad first half and it's just not his night, then I can see that that would creep into your brain, that you don't have that aggression. But when you have success and you're dominating a certain team, and you see you're not doing anything in the second half, how do you not check yourself if you're a killer? So the conclusion is he either thinks he's a killer or he doesn't know what a killer is. T in East Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T.
Yes, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, T?
Listen, I got to agree with the other guys, man. Philadelphia, we have some of the lowest sports self-esteem there is. We need to get rid of Ben. Ben refuses to shoot the three. Ben refuses to shoot free throws late. What are we holding on to him
for? Well, how's that help you? How's it help you to get rid of him?
Listen, we got to know that we're not going to get equal value back for him.
Well, you can't do that now then. If you're not going to get equal value, you can't just give up on a 23-year-old kid and not get equal value. What sense does that make?
How are you ever going to get equal value?
Are you kidding? That, down the road, you would make that decision. You can't make that decision now.
Three years of him and Embiid.
How are you going to win if you don't get equal value?
Mike, are we winning now? We're 6-seed. We can't beat Indiana.
But you're not answering my question. What is the upside of not getting equal value? Just getting rid of Ben?
No, the upside is this. This is my theory. I know a lot of people are not going to agree with it. I would have traded him for Chris Paul and some of their young guys in a pick. We could win.
Yeah, you can't do that because Chris Paul makes $40 million. So that's out the window. It's not realistic. Ben Simmons, you have to have salaries match. You can't get Chris Paul for Ben Simmons.
So we're bringing the third team. If we bring in the third team, it can work. I'm telling you, I would get Chris Paul. He's the best solution that'll go with Embiid and Al Horford.
Yeah, it's not realistic to get Chris Paul, T. Sorry.
Mike, either way, we need to get rid of Ben. Ben, what is he? He's a cancer to the team. That's why we don't have Jimmy Butler right now.
All right, man. You still haven't made the case on how you're going to be better. You gave me Chris Paul, which is not practical. So, like, how do you get lesser value from Ben and still maintain a championship level?
So, Mike, you mean to tell me in three more years, if the guy's still playing at this level?
Not three more years. I'm saying, like, in another year. If another year you come to the conclusion it's just not going to work with him, you do. But you don't do it now for lesser value.
So
it doesn't make any sense.
What value will we get from him?
You're doing it because you're mad at him. You want to get rid of him because you're mad at him. That's not a good enough reason to get rid of a guy.
I didn't evaluate him and see that the guy's hard-headed.
Did you evaluate him in the first half?
Mike, come on. Rudy Gay can score. That doesn't mean anything.
Come on, man. You saw the way he dominated the game in the first half. There are a handful of players who can play like that in the league. Maybe three. Maybe one. Giannis is the only guy. And old LeBron could play like that. And maybe Luka. That's it.
And he does it on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Go with it. He's better than all the guys you named. Better than Giannis on the defensive end. He's better than Luka on the if he could keep it going, he can do everything.
You have to separate yourself from your anger at him. And there's plenty of that going around. I get it. Or the frustration, which is a better word, that you have for him, that he doesn't do the max. And you want to get rid of him for that. You got to separate that. Put that in a box and look at it logically. You just don't trade a guy for the sake of trading him. You don't trade him because he's a cancer. He's not a cancer. He's just a guy that needs to up his game to a different level. Now, maybe you think he's never going to get there, and that's legit. But I think it's a little too soon to say that, and the Sixers certainly aren't going to get rid of him. So you got to hope that they can do other things that make this team better than what they are right now. Before you go, well, let's blow it up. Ben's gone. Let's get Chris Paul in here. He's 40 years old and he makes $40 million. Where's that taking you? Corey in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Corey.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, Corey?
How you guys doing? So I just want to talk about this Ben Simmons character. I'm not totally out on Ben Simmons. I appreciate what he does. You know, all the other things that he does, you know, the rebounding, the defending and everything. You got to appreciate that, you know, like, you know, the talent. Because I remember the Hollis Thompson days and stuff like that. So, but I say this, that we can't get caught up on the talent too much. You know, like, you got to realize that it's a better fit out there. You know, like, this is what the process is, you know, like, I feel like Ben Simmons, you know, like, we're getting caught up on the talent, like, back in, like, all the draft picks that we got, you know, in the past that we screwed up on because we took talent over need, you know, I feel like Ben Simmons is just like, this is who he is. He is the process. So I'll say that to say this, if you can get rid of him now, you know, cause I feel like if there is a better fit for the team, cause he is enabling the team, the office, the whole team, not just him. It's not happening, you know? So I say if you can trade him now, trade him, you know?
Yeah.
I would send him to Golden State.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Okay. And because you're talking about talent, there's one thing that's talent and there's one thing that's exceptional talent. There's no comparable in this league on what Ben Simmons can do other than Giannis. So yes, it's not just talent. It's exceptional talent.
And this is what I'm saying, but you can't get caught up on talent.
Yes, you can when it's exceptional talent. You're trading him for D'Angelo Russell, and you're telling me this team will be better?
You didn't hear what I said. I said D'Angelo Russell and that pick. I'm doing it.
D'Angelo Russell and the first round pick?
Yes. How can you not take that for Ben Simmons?
Because I can't. I'm sorry. D'Angelo Russell doesn't come up to his shins as far as talent goes. Stop it. Come on, Corey. This D'Angelo Russell talk is the most ridiculous talk I've ever heard.
A lot of people call it for it. Booney would do that. He thinks that's the closest you can get to real value. The unprotected pick and D'Angelo Russell. They've lost a lot of games this year. They're not going to definitely be a lottery pick. My issue is that Curry's currently shooting without a thing on his hand. So once they trade that pick, they have no reason to want to lose. With Ben Simmons and Curry in the month of March, they would win 10 games at some point, 12 straight games, because now you got spacing because you had the greatest shooter ever to play with Ben Simmons. And that pick ends up being, you end up getting D'Angelo Russell and the 10th or 11th pick in the draft for Ben
That's
Simmons.
That's not good enough.
That's what you, because you know when Ben and him play together, they would win.
10th or 11th pick in the draft?
That's what it would end. Right now, it's much better than that. But I'm saying Curry would come back because now there's no reason to lose. They lost their pick. So now Ben Simmons is playing every night. Curry's back. And they go on a winning streak and mess up the quality of that pick. It gets worse the minute that you trade it because Ben plays every game and Curry would then come back because there's no need to hold him back because they're not tanking for that pick. That's why I don't like it.
I got the lottery right in front of me. Would you say it's a top 8 pick?
No.
What?
Right now, it would be a top 5 pick.
It would be a top 5 pick.
Right now.
Yeah, let's go to top 5 picks then. So you're getting D'Angelo Russell and you wouldn't get James Wiseman.
No, it wouldn't make sense, yeah.
Anthony Edwards, the 6'5 guard from Georgia, freshman. Is he all that that you go, wow?
No.
Okay. LaMelo Ball, is he all that that you go,
no,
wow? Jaden McDaniels, the kid freshman from Washington. Is he all that you would go, wow?
No, not on that level.
Denny Avdija from Israel.
Yeah, come on. I don't know.
This is the top, these are top right
class. It's way too early.
Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State. I've seen the kid play.
Yeah, I've seen
It
looks like he might be a nice player.
Kid from Dayton. Obi Toppin. No. See, there's no Ja Morant here, you know?
Yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975. Yeah, that's the Mike Missinelli Show number. That's how you get in. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's time to update the Twitter poll. Ben Simmons is a really interesting conversation, and it never it's almost like it's almost like McNabb. It's McNabb-esque, and it's a gift.
Number
that
five will always love.
It continues to give. It gives every day. Let's get the Twitter poll update with Natalie, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat?
Mike, we have over 1,200 votes on today's poll. Did Ben Simmons have a good game last night? 33% say yes, 67% say no, so.
All right, now, his, big change. I'm just trying to get in his head. Like, he, his reaction to that would be, these people talking about it, I get 24 and 14. And therein lies the problem. Because I do think he would be oblivious to the fact that he didn't play in the second half at all. I really think that he thinks he had a good game last night. I don't think he takes inventory that he disappeared, which is a whole different problem.
Yeah, and another thing I didn't like was Serena Winters gets him after the game. I know disappointing he loses, but he sits there and gives all the one-word answers, and he comes in and leaves Tobias out to dry to have to actually elaborate on answers like that. Sorry, like Embiid, when they lose, he gets out there and he speaks. You have to be able to be there with the good and the bad. So him giving the short answers makes me think he knows what's going on, but then doesn't really ever know what's going on. It's odd to me.
I just think that he is programmed to think that he does nothing wrong, and he is oblivious to the people that say such a thing.
You know,
otherwise, that thing that Jaylen Brown said would have resonated.
Here's another thing. People talk about, like, Embiid's body language or this guy, Horford's body language. Does Ben ever look disappointed in himself?
No.
You know, sometimes you get frustrated, not with your teammates, not with your coach, not with the refs. I've seen that stuff at himself. Like, Embiid will miss, and he might stump the shoulders, and, oh, that's on me. Or same with Horford, same with a lot of guys. With Ben, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm just saying, I never see him disappointed in himself. It's always either the ref or this or somebody else did something wrong.
Yeah.
I never see, and I watch every game, him going, man, I got to do something better. Oh, I should have done something. That doesn't really ever show to me.
McNabb the same way, wasn't he?
Yeah.
See, this is my point about the golden child, being raised the golden child. The golden child raised the golden child doesn't think he does anything wrong. That was McNabb to a T. It's Ben Simmons to a T. And I think you can tie that whole concept together.
Probably right.
Let's go to Dan in Harleysville. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Dan?
Nothing. Great show. The problem with Simmons is, if you were going to trade him and really try and trade him, you needed to trade him like last year or the year before. So you didn't do that. And now you're never going to get value for him now, so you can't trade him. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think you can trade him, like, because I think his weaknesses are apparent now, and other teams see that. So you're not going to be able to.
You couldn't determine that those weaknesses weren't going to change.
Well, I don't necessarily blame him for not doing it, but you just can't.
Yeah, you weren't going to trade him a year or two ago because you saw this blossoming.
If you were inclined to do it, that's when you were going to do it. But nobody was inclined to do it then, so it's like it's stupid to talk about. So ultimately, what's going to happen now is he's going to get Brett Brown fired. Is what's going to happen. So, like, because the only thing you can do is try to go find a coach that can get through to the guy, which is kind of hard because he's like half robot. So I don't know who you bring in
It's a great word you just used.
Well, he's like an android.
He's like
Blade Runner.
He is.
You know, like, I don't know how.
Right. And you're right about he may get Brett Brown fired. And at the end of the day, when Brett Brown looks back, he goes, well, maybe I should have done some things differently with him. Instead,
and if you're not going to listen to him, who's like a lifelong family friend, like who that's going to be like, I think, ultimately, like what the next offseason
is. Yeah, I think Ben is.
Who do you bring in?
Yeah, the reflection of Ben's, Brett Brown's frustration is that he's gone public with this shooting thing.
Yeah, and he's still not changing his habits. So it's a problematic because you're not seeing develop. You want, if you saw development, you go, okay, he's going to develop and get to that ceiling that we all talk about. But, I mean, what has he gotten better at this year? Anything?
Defensively, he's one of the top defenders in the NBA. I just know. Now, last night, I noticed that he slacked in that second half last night. He didn't fight through picks. He lost the guy, went around a pick, and lost the guy. I didn't think he energized in the fourth quarter defensively either.
He's got weird energy. Like I said, emotion doesn't affect him like a normal human. Like, that's his robot side. Like, he just doesn't, like, the way it affects you and me, like, doesn't affect him like that. He's just kind of an odd bird. He's like kind of just a strange guy.
And that's why he's the most frustrating athlete that I've ever encountered. It's a very odd dynamic with the kid. He seems oblivious to fallacies. Now, all these trades come out of the woodwork. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Would you trade with the Chicago Bulls? Ben for Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen.
Yuck.
Now, seriously?
Come on.
Seriously?
See,
this is what? People are desperately frustrated by this guy to the point where they lose their reason. Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen? For a guy who should be Giannis? Come on.
And also, they're losing players. Don't play a lick of defense. Like, we all are mad about what he doesn't do. But you have to always remember when you're trading him what you lose on the positive end and how much of that you get back. And so when you get Booker, you mentioned Booker. Booker's going to shoot the ball and create space for you. He's going to do enough stuff to where even if he's not great on defense, it's okay. When you make that kind of trade, you're just worse. You're only worse. You're worse in every way.
Yeah.
Except you get a guy who's a more exciting dunker. In losses. All LaVine does is lose. And Markkanen's having a terrible year.
It's not even worth discussing. It's like ridiculous. Vince in Wilmington. Vince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vince.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Vince?
Mike, I love you, but I think you're overvaluing Ben Simmons. He brings nothing. You got to treat him now before playoffs come around. And we know how he is in the playoffs. His half-court offense value is... it's pretty bad. As a primary ball handler, he doesn't create enough. He's a 6'10 Rajon Rondo. He has to be traded now before his value goes down next year. Has to.
No. It's foolish. Unless you're getting equal value. Who's your trade?
I mean, equal value is going to be hard. We have to get a young guy who can project to be somewhat good because he's not a point guard. He's going to be used, I think, best. What he's going to be in the league is like a Draymond Green, kind of like a role guy, and like
you trade Ben Simmons for a role guy.
No, me like a pick and roll.
Then who is it?
I would go Brandon Clark and DeAnthony Melton from the Grizzlies for Ben Simmons.
What?
Just because his value is going to be decreased.
I would say no.
Come on, man. Seriously,
let's do a little homework before we shut it down, Tyrone.
Yeah, come on. Stop. I've heard enough of these ridiculous trades. Okay, you're wearing me out with this nonsense.
And I'm supposed to be. I don't want to sit and sweet with any of these people. That's why I'm not playing a suite. I don't want to sit and sweet with any of these people. I'm not going to the suite with these. I need some better calls, or I'm not playing. We'll sit in the suite ourselves before I let trades like that sit in the suite with us. I'm not doing it. I won't. I can't. I'm not going to. Oh, you're trading him to the Grizzlies, and I don't get Ja Morant back. I'm not trading him to the Grizzlies unless I get Ja. No, I'm not sitting in the suite with these people. I refuse. And Natalie, I know you're nice and kind, but you don't want to sit in the suite with those people.
No.
Repeat that trade again. The Memphis Grizzly trade.
I don't. Milton and somebody.
Who did he want?
Milton and somebody for, I forget who the other player was, but it was not good. If it doesn't have Ja Morant, I'm not going to the Grizzlies.
Wait a minute. Let me just see who he's talking about here. I can't even, like, what name did he say?
No, it was Milton and somebody else.
Milton?
I gotta look at
there is no
the
Milton.
Grizz roster.
Looking at the Grizzly roster right now. There's no Milton. What was he even talking about?
I don't know. But there are a couple players I like. Like Jaren Jackson Jr., I like him. I think he's a good player. John Morant's a good player. But I'm looking at it. Look at that roster. Brandon Clark.
Oh, that's what Melton. He said. Brandon Clark.
And De'Anthony Melton.
Melton. Okay, so Brandon Clark is a he's a sub. He's averaging 12 points off the bench for them. And
Melton's averaging 6, 3, and 3. This is what I'm saying. I'm not doing that trade. Seriously. Like, come cut it out. And I'm not bringing you to a sweet talking.
Anthony Melton.
Yeah.
A 7 point off the bench score. What are you talking about?
Oh, he'll develop. Get out of here.
Oh, my God. 610-632-0975. We still would love to give away a couple pair of tickets.
We will, but I can't.
We have to do it today.
We will, but come on, Nat. Look what they're giving me. I'm in a good mood.
All right, how about since there's a difference between fans and decision makers and organizations.
Nah, Nat.
So let's just not make the fans the decision makers. No more trade options. How about that?
Find somebody who can do both.
Just proposed trading Ben Simmons for two bench players from a bad team. This is what the guy is doing to us.
This is why fans are fans.
Well, but this is what Ben Simmons is doing to us.
Right.
He's making us zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is. He's making us pods with absolutely no logical thought.
So a logical trade will get you.
No, just a logical call.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Get from second zero to 2 minutes without being insane, and I will play the Sixers song, and you'll qualify to come with us to the suite. 610-632-0975.
We'll take a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:48, Mike Missinelli Show. Well, an interesting story just broke out of Penn State. Or not out of Penn State, but out of federal court that involves Penn State. Football. This is a serious business here. A former Penn State football player named Isaiah Humphreys filed a federal lawsuit against the university, against Coach James Franklin, and against former teammate Damian Barber, alleging that this player, Humphreys, was subject to hazing brought on by Barber, linebacker Micah Parsons, defensive lineman Yetur Gross-Mattis, both of whom are going to be high draft picks, and linebacker Jesse Lakita. And the coaching staff was aware of the hazing and did not protect the player, Humphreys.
What'd they do to him?
They orchestrated, directed, and facilitated a campaign harassing haze underclassmen of Penn State football team. The hazing alleged in suit includes participating, saying they intended to make the underclassmen, quote, their B, because this is a prison. And they also apparently said, I'm going to Sandusky you.
Yeah, see, I'm a guy who likes some of the old school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the new stuff is ridiculous, but this is a way we've evolved in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And the kid, like a college person may make a mistake, but if it does get elevated, and apparently in this case it did, the coaches have to step in. You can't just let that happen. I mean, that's just, it's not 19, even 2000 9 anymore. Things have changed. You can't act like that.
They made unwanted sexual contact?
Yes.
And that's been a common thing in these kind of hazing situations.
The complaint says they put their genitals in his face.
Yeah.
On the buttocks or in his face.
Yeah, that kind of stuff has been a part of hazing for a long time. I never played that stuff, even back, and it was allowed during my generation. I'm not that old. Things have changed quickly. But now we know better. And if the coach knew, it was on the coach to stop it.
What is with dudes that, like, this is like a thing?
That's been a thing for, I don't get it, but that's not a new thing.
I'm genuinely, as a woman, I'm genuinely, why is that like a thing? Why does that show dominance? Why does that make you, why does that make somebody else feel better that they can do that to somebody?
It's a barbaric football thing.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
It's weird.
And usually in the most macho sports, this kind of thing goes on, like wrestling.
Right. Absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
That's what I mean. Right. It's very strange.
Like baseball.
So weird.
You could speak on this better, but baseball to me was not the same as football.
No, we never had anything like that.
Yeah, but football,
he's being represented by a Philadelphia lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who I'm aware of. His name is Steve Marino, and he's a former Penn State athlete, actually.
Oh, wow.
And he says that the events that arise from an investigation conducted by Penn State's Office of Sexual Conduct Misconduct Response doesn't arise until May 2019. That was after the kid had already left. Isaiah Humphries left the school during the calendar year 2018, transferred to Cal. The investigation was triggered by an anonymous tip, and the source of that tip was not my client. So somebody else reported this, and then he joined in and followed the suit. Now, this guy, Barbara, who was named in the suit, was suspended for the first game of the season against Idaho for what was termed as a suspension as a violation of team rules. But he played in the second game against Buffalo.
Interesting.
So
that means that there may be a paper trail of some sort of punishment for this. And the question is, was that punishment harsh enough for what the player did?
Or nobody's learned anything from the history of what
the
stuff
kid's
has gone on.
Father is a former Penn State football player who was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1992.
The kid who
was harassed. Yeah. Yes, the victim.
Huh. So,
not good.
No, and, you know, this is, and then what happens is when stuff like this comes up, if this isn't a one-off, now other people start coming forward, and then you find out, this was rampant. This is the problem with this.
Well, like, what happens here now, the athletic director, who just gave Franklin the big, you know, obviously had to be aware of this, she gave him the big extension. Now, if this comes to light, the federal lawsuit, does he not have to be subject to suspension?
Yeah, probably.
For permissiveness?
Yeah.
If it's proven?
Yeah, if it's proven, he's going to have to be suspended, and they're not playing with these coaches this year.
Nope. All right, let's go Jay in Oxford. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Jay?
Well, I think I can pin this thing down for you on our Mr. Ben. I think that Ben is passive aggressive. If you look at what he is doing, he is intentionally sabotaging the team. He is exacting his hidden revenge. He is getting others to act out their hidden anger for them. This ability to control someone else's emotional response makes a passive aggressive person feel powerful. He becomes the puppeteer and the master.
Ho, ho, ho. This is, you're going into psychology 101 here. He's consciously trying to sabotage the team?
That's what the passive-aggressive individual does.
What?
It's exactly... It's an immature behavior.
That's way out on a limb. I don't think he's consciously trying to sabotage a team. Subconsciously, his actions may be sabotaging the team, but he's not doing it consciously.
Well, you know, people have different ways of dealing with things. And he's a young man. And he may not be able to express his emotions.
Yeah, but you went way out on a limb. You got to tie it to your premise. How is he consciously trying to sabotage the team by doing what?
By not by, by not shooting his jump shot.
By not shooting a basketball, he's intentionally trying to sabotage the team.
Sure.
But he's
isn't it
he's helping the team in four other different ways. So how do you put the two thoughts together?
Because it's just a control. It's a control thing.
Yeah, I think you're way out there for that. Because if he was constantly trying to sabotage the team, he wouldn't be doing all the other things that he does to help the team win. He just has a mental problem with shooting the basketball. He's not shooting the basketball to sabotage the team. He's not shooting the basketball because he's got some kind of mental block about shooting the basketball. I don't think he's sinister. 610-632-0975. Interesting. We got all kinds of interesting theories on this, don't we?
There's a million.
He is consciously trying to sabotage the team.
So why play great defense?
This is like you said, why? A Netflix special. Like a robot has been brought, enemy of the United States, to sabotage an American basketball team. And we will find out when we break him open, it'll be all kinds of wires and parts.
See where he was made. He was made in Toronto. Oh, no!
Oh, my God. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.